performing indoors, outdoors, streamed for maximum accessibility. Record and book launches, workshops, a puppet show, a satellite Sony happening in Wakefield, Quebec, of all places, and, of course, much more. For all the goodies, check out SonyParopopolo.org. Masks will, of course, be required. For your audio program guide, tune into the Montreal Sessions, Tuesday, May 24th, May 31st, and June 7 and 14th, from 3 till 5 p.m. The Swanee crew hosts will be serving up highlights of what to expect at this year's festival. This is, of course, a CKUT co-presentation.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.
Schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day, and love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth when you're young? For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind when you're young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here's the best part, you'll have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Welcome to Older Women Live on CKUT at 90.3 FM on your dial. We're a small feminist radio collective which produces this show once a month, the second Wednesday of every month. My name is Rosemary Wally. Now, there's a lot of news about the war being waged in the Ukraine. We condemn this war and all wars, because in every war, people lose their children, often their sons. People lose their houses and their neighbourhoods. And we can see this mindless destruction going on and on in the Ukraine. Cities levelled, beautiful old buildings rendered to dust. And of course, then there's environmental damage. People are driven into exile, their lives ruined. Imagine a missile landing near you, say in a local park. Imagine the noise. Imagine how scary that would be. You could have PTSD for life. Now, according to a website called World Population Review, there are conflicts going on in 22 other countries. This definition of conflict involves places where at least 1,000 people have died in battle. So why do we hear almost exclusively about the Ukraine? It's harder for perhaps for Canadians, the majority of whom are white, to think about others in the world who are living in conflict zones. Also, there's the thorny issue of weapons themselves, some of which are made in Canada, right here on the island of Montreal, and then shipped to wherever. Burkina Faso, Chad, Ethiopia, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Mali, Yemen, Syria, South Sudan, and I could go on. This is just naming a few. Export Development Canada is hardly a household name. Here I'm quoting. Export Development Canada is a crown corporation dedicated to helping Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage. We equip them with the tools they need, the trade knowledge, financial solutions, equity, insurance and connections to grow their business with confidence. And let me assure you that for Canada, the business of war is a business. Canada is a major manufacturer and exporter of weapons, and this is all done with our tax dollars. Today we're going to hear an interview I did recently with an Australian nurse, Valerie Browning, who's lived in Afar, a province in the northeast of Ethiopia, for well over 30 years. She's married to a local man, has kids and grandkids. Now, in our media, we never hear about Afar, Ethiopia, and their daily struggle to survive. Are some of the weapons used against them by their neighbours to the north, the Tigrayans, made in Canada? Possibly. Canada is the 12th largest exporter of weapons in the world. Here is Valerie Browning talking to us over Zoom from her home in Afar, Ethiopia. Before we hear from Valerie, let's listen to the sweet voice of Asta Awaki, a very well-known older singer from Ethiopia. She's singing a song called Nafkot, which apparently is very famous. It's soothing even though we don't understand the words. So we'll listen to the song and then we'll go straight into the interview with Valerie Browning.
Thank you. great your love will learn to change. Tis the time for the prayer, ask the return. When now you're my god, you're my chakra. Cut money water, and tell for good. Ask her to change. Man, now you're my god. You're my chakra. Cut me water. And tell me straight.
Ethiopia has the second largest population on the African continent. It has about 120 million people, and they're mostly very young. I think the average age is about 18.
adding to its problems since the independence of Eritrea, which was around 1993, it lost its access to the sea. So Ethiopia is landlocked with this very large population. The country is divided into 11 regions based on the ethno-linguistic nature of the population, more or less. The country was ruled by one of these ethnic groups, the Tigrayans, for 27 years. Now, they really got an extra large dollop of power because they make up only 6% of the population. In the northeast of Ethiopia is a province called Afar. And these people are lucky in a way, they're more or less left alone because it's a very inhospitable area. First of all, it's the hottest place on earth. And sometimes the temperatures are in their 50s. And there's nothing very much there. A lot of it is desert. There's the Danakil Desert. And they also have huge, huge areas of salt flats. So these people can't grow anything. They're extremely poor and they're nomads, and they've had this way of life for thousands of years. Now, what has happened recently is that the people from the north, the people from Tigray, the ones that led Ethiopia for 27 years and are very powerful, there's a war on, and they have been invading Afar and killing the people. And I recently spoke to Valerie Browning, who's an Australian nurse who's been there about 30 years. And this is our conversation.
Afar is the northeast of Ethiopia. It's the lowlands. It's extremely hot. We have temperatures at the moment in the 40s. I saw for Canada recently on the weather, you are in the 20s, we're in the 40s.
And Valerie, I must add that here in Quebec, this is considered a heat wave. So
could be in a heat wave, but we stay in it all the time. So for 5-6 months of the year, we have temperatures in the 40s up to 50 degrees. We have what's called the hottest inhabited place on earth, apparently. It's a semi-desert. The people are nomadic. The people are moving with their animals, goats and camels mostly, to find water and grazing over a very sparse and frugal landscape. We at the moment are in a drought period, a very severe drought period. And we've also been battered by the conflict of Tigray coming into Afar region. So the people of Afar are kind of like the most underdeveloped people of Ethiopia. This organization I work with, called Afar Pastoralist Development Association, started in 1993. And actually, when we started, Afar were almost 100% illiterate, no vaccination, no assistance in childbirth, no association with the cash economy, and living relatively okay, but with their own institutions, traditional institutions. And then, we've had these droughts increasingly over the last 15, even 20 years, droughts, which have killed the animals, which have lowered the food for the people so that they have almost no milk in the house. And people live in a very, very frugal way, eating mostly wheat to make bread, which they get from food assistance. And really, it's become a very serious food insecurity area of the country. Our organization works inside the community, moving with the people, working as much as we can on a mobile basis with health workers, with woman extension workers, with teachers, with environment scouts, and we basically work according to the community need. But now we are shattered by the conflict of Tigray, which has destroyed nearly all development which happened here. Like, they've destroyed all the water schemes. They've taken away grinding mills. They've destroyed the hospitals. We've got a few hospitals, they destroyed them. Okay, they have blown up the schools. It's been a very destructive time we've had in the last few months. And so Afar have become even deeper into poverty, even deeper into need, which is, for me, extremely sad.
Wow, yes, it sounds very, very difficult, Valerie. What about the World Food Programme? Is it able to assist in any way, or can the trucks get through, or what's the situation with that?
Well, you can get assistance in. We work as a local NGO. Just a minute. Ismail, Dafina Lee or Dafina? We work as a local NGO. We train people from the community, so we're already where the people are in need. We don't need to. We are actually in the situation. We get what we can through. We walk by camel. We walk house to house to assist people. And the situation is very dire now because the TPLF, as I said, destroyed health systems, education, water schemes, everything that was needed for the people, they destroyed it, particularly in the northern Afar. And so actually, assistance that we are getting, we're giving, we're working with the Ethiopians in the diaspora as much as we can. We're trying desperately to raise assistance. People are totally without food. We are trucking it to them, delivering it to them by camel. And we're doing what we can to stop people dying of malnutrition and the hardships that they have. There's extensive malnutrition now, very high.
Wow. What about the situation for the women, for the mothers?
For the pregnant mothers, it's very dire. They have no system to help them. And so since, say, January, it would be at least 100, maybe as many as 200 mothers in the north have delivered under a tree, lying on the road, what they can do. It's really hard. Mothers have died, and recently two mothers died bleeding in the north, very recently. And mothers have died of malnutrition in the north. So this is all due to this very abnormal situation we have of conflict. As much as they're fighting in Ukraine, they're fighting in Afar. We don't get the spotlight of world attention, but it is true. But in Ukraine, I see it on the television. People get assisted with a package of food, a package of this. Afar get nothing. You get the Ukrainian children, and they should get a teddy bear. Well, I'm sorry, Afar don't get anything. You know, they must just cry for their dead, for their burnt. They use artillery, they use tanks, they use everything to kill the people in Afar. And they said the fighting had stopped. Well, it hasn't. They're still continuing in one district called Magali. And it looks like the TPLF is coming back to us again.
What is this conflict about, Valerie?
Well, the conflict is about a group called the Tigray People's Liberation Front, who power in Ethiopia from 1991 until 2018, when there was a change of government. The change of government displaced them. It was not truly an elected change, but necessary for the country to have a change of government. The TPLF, the Tigray people, were ruling from the north to the entire Ethiopia, and there were 6 million people. Initially, in 1991, when the communist, the Derg, fell in Ethiopia, the American government put the Tigray People Liberation into government in Addis Ababa. They stayed there for 27 years. They ruled by authoritarian rule. And now it would seem they want to come back to power. They are trying to cut the economy of Ethiopia by going through the Afar region where I live to take the road that comes from the port of Djibouti into Ethiopia. They want that road. They want to take the northern part of Afar because it's rich in mineral. It's a power problem. It's let's return to the same degree of wealth as they had. The TPLF were authoritarian, as I said, and quite frankly, they stole the country from the people in the 27 years they ruled. And so Ethiopia people stayed poor while they had enormous wealth. And so this is an injustice which is very difficult. And now America is insisting on sanctions for the Ethiopian government and for the TPLF if fighting continues. So they are trying to show that they're no longer fighting. In fact, they are. 3 days ago, the Tigray People Liberation Front started even to fight the people of Eritrea on the northern border. They are fighting there in Zalambassa and mm-hmm. other places, and they're also trying to get the fighting going again on the Sudanese border. So TPLF is a militant government of the people of Tigray who wants power, who believes power doesn't matter, it comes by destruction. I don't think they represent the people of Tigray. I don't think that's true. And I think that they simply rule by force.
Where do they get their arms from, Valerie?
Over the 27 years they were in power, they had all the arms of the country. They were in control of the army. Tigray is full of armament, completely full. No problem. They don't have lack of armament. They have every possibility except for the Air Force. So they have all the ground weapons, and they have a huge army. Recently, they boasted that they're setting up, re-establishing an army of 1 million fighters.
Well, Ethiopia always did have a large army, but where are these weapons made?
Sorry?
Where are the weapons made? Do you have armaments factories?
No, we don't have armament factories. They come from Yemen. They come from, and Yemen armament is coming from Britain, from America, from everywhere. Canada. I mean, the armament factories are part of the developed world. We don't have armament factories here. So, and the way it's traded is through the horrible conflicts across the world. Armaments is one of the fastest trading systems in the world. Yemen is selling arms through easily across the Red Sea into Ethiopia, into Eritrea, into Sudan. They can do that easily, no problem. No problem at all. Where does that come from? Well, I've seen the armaments I've seen in the field, in the battlefields. It's written in English. It is not Russian. It is not Chinese. It's from the English-speaking world.
Well, yes, and I mean, I'm wondering how many of these armaments come from Canada and are paid for with our tax dollars.
Well, we don't know. I don't know. Maybe I come from Australia. Maybe they're from Australia. Who knows? But I mean, the point is, we don't have much conscience about when it comes to armaments, when it comes to war. Around the world, we don't have a conscience, it seems. War is a game of killing. And who cares? Huh? Well, and if you're an armament company, the one thing you need is money, you need to sell it, isn't it?
And so although I have to say that what seems clear to me is the role that it's played by the Western world, and particularly United States. You mentioned about the difference in the treatment to people of Ukraine and how much support they receive, and you don't receive any. So that shows you the difference between what is of interest for United States, and in that case also Canada could be a contributor of the situation.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there are world differences. I mean, there was an incident 3 days ago, I think on Wednesday, a female journalist was killed in Palestine. And now they're trying to make publicity about that. But if that female journalist had been not an Arab descent, if she'd been from the Western descent, it would have been different. Huh? But she actually has, the one killed in Palestine, she actually has American citizenship. She had it. So they're trying to put it into the American political conscience to say something to Israel for killing her. But I mean, this is the world injustice. We do divide up. We look at people discriminately. I'm a Western woman living in Ethiopia, living with the Afar people. I lived here 33 years, yes? Mm-hmm. And I have Western relatives. I come from Australia. I have an Australian passport, yeah? But still, it is... The thing that keeps me here and keeps my blood boiling is the injustice of how you treat somebody differently when they can't, they look different, maybe they behave different, they have a different culture, and maybe they believe different. Maybe some of the world doesn't like Muslim people. This is a possibility, you know? So why are we discriminating, labeling? It's a very bad thing, you know, a shocking thing, shocking. Yeah?
Yeah, what it's doing, of course, is treating some people as though they're not worth what other people are worth. And I agree with you that the injustice that we are facing in the world today is simply going to destroy the world. There's no way that life can continue. And maybe we're the last ones, Valerie, that sort of fight on, you know, in the vain hope that there will be some change.
Well, we have to live in hope, Rosemary, and we do. We have to try to focus people on their own ability to help each other, to be productive, to be conciliatory to one another. We have to focus on that. But you're right. Our senseless behavior is destructive. It's self-destructive of the human race. I totally agree. And there's nothing more awful than the destruction weapons can do to anything to do with buildings, to do with institutions, to do with livelihood, to do with animals. It's just horrible, 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 you know? And then you've got all these burnt people in Afar now. They were blown up by these rocket launching things, people with legs blown off, people, and how many people died that way. It is horrible. It is really shocking. And we better stop it. We better not see war as a game, war as a competition, war as the way to seek a solution. It's not a solution, no? So, I mean, historically, we live together on one planet. We better continue, I think. Yeah. Hmm.
Absolutely. Can I get back to the question of the drought? This is very serious, I'm sure, Valerie. What do the people do? How do they get their water if there's a drought?
Well, yeah. That's an added problem, you see. So, but it's a natural problem. What we try to do is treat their animals. We're trying at the moment to buy animal feed to help feed the goats in the weakest houses so that they can have milk to drink, so they won't be so malnourished. We're trying that. And in some places, we're trying to restock the animals where a lot of animals died. So, I mean, there are things to do about the problem. But in drought, you have to adapt. You have to look at the changing seasons. And you have to look at the fact that there is less rain. We try to tap the underground water, bring the water level up if we can. We work with rehabilitation of the rangeland. All that work needs to be done. But we've got this added problem on our head of this silly conflict, which is distracting us and making us really quite upset, quite frankly.
Well, yes. How large is your project, is your group? How many people are you working with and how is it classified and arranged?
Well, we have a very wide program which nearly covers most of Afar region. We've been working 27, nearly 28 years now. We work in primary health, in basic education, in awareness towards women having equality. We work in maternal health particularly. We work in income generation for females as well as males, but focusing on females and working with microfinance. We work towards the rehabilitation of the rangeland. We do the range of activities the people demand from us. But now we are finding we have to back that with a huge amount of emergency work because the destruction of this conflict has brought the people to zero. And this is such a shocking thing. So for example, the markets are not functioning. And that's a big reason why they've got no food. So we try and help local people to start a market, to start selling, to run small businesses. All that is needed. But of course, at the level of the people, through their culture, through their language. The organization I work with is completely Afar, except for me. I'm not, but I'm married to an Afar man, and we have children and so on. So really, we have to run with the people and work with the people directing us.
Can you think of anything that we can do besides publicize what's happened and maybe some people use some money? I don't know.
The most important thing today is to be outraged about the destruction of people's livelihood. If we can get the TPLF to stop coming in and destroying the Afar livelihood, then the Afar have a chance. But if we start something, then they come back in and destroy it, that is terrible, you know? So people should be outraged. They should talk to their local parliamentarian, the people of Canada, the people of America, the people of the world should condemn TPLF, Tigray People's Liberation Front, for their destruction and say, for heaven's sake, negotiate, live with the people, but don't do that. Don't do this terrible destruction. Stop. Stop fighting them. Stop bringing huge guns and tanks in front of houses, burning houses, blowing up people. No, don't do that. We can't go on like this. We're begging the world to say we don't agree with the Tigray fighting. Unfortunately, the world is on the side of Tigray, not on the side of the other Ethiopians. So this is really outrageous. The people of Tigray People's Liberation Front, for us and our situation, are killers, are murderers, are thieves, are thugs. But apparently, American government and the American lobby have decided that TPLF, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, should have right to come back to government. But that's impossible. Impossible. The people of Tigray need to be represented in the Ethiopian government, but not the Tigray People Liberation Front.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So that should happen. And that's a justice issue. If we can clean up that one, then we can work very, very, very hard towards recovery. We can do that. Yeah?
Yes, but I mean, I think there are reasons why the Americans are supporting the TPLF.
The United States government has got to stop meddling in the affairs of other countries, because Ethiopia is a sovereign state who should solve their own problems. Damn it. They should. Tigray is part of Ethiopia, is not independent. And if they are helping Tigray to become independent, well, then America is helping to break up Ethiopia into pieces. This is crazy. This is also not an alternative. You know, the Tigray People's Liberation Front duped or fooled the Security Council of the UN way back in November, December 2020-2021, when the war started. It's now a war of over 2 years. I mean, over this year gone, we're into what, 5 months of another year. Look, we can't go on like this. We're draining the country. We're draining the country's economy. And it is senseless. It is senseless. And so the Ethiopian government, it should censor their own people without the interference of the world community. But no, the world can't do that, apparently. You know? So, yes, you're right. The Americans seem to have their own motives in Ethiopia. They do. And it's not the well-being of the Afar people. That is dispensable. That is apparently, the Afar people can be off the map if it's necessary.
Well, if you're telling me that there are minerals in this area where you are, then the US and Canada, sadly Canada as well, will be very, very interested. I mean, there must be, I'm assuming there are Canadian mining companies in Afar.
Well, they did come. Actually, yeah, I'm just the mining company from Canada that came to mine potash. Failed to do so, they moved off. An company came, an Indian company came, an Australian company came. There have been 4 international companies who've tried to mine in northern Afar. So, yes, the greed of the world is putting their finger on the resources of places like Afar. This should not happen. This should not happen. The Afar, if they can use their own resources, they should use it. If they can't, leave it. Their way of life needs to be supported by any means. We are in a very tricky position. We have apparently one of the best potash quality in the world in Afar. Well, that's bad luck.
That's terrible.
In Afar, we also have 3 could be quite productive gold areas, gold.
Oh, no.
There's also a lot of salt in the north of Afar. So, I mean, yeah, there are minerals, and this is the problem. The world is too greedy to grab the mineral resource of the African continent as a whole at the expense of the people. I mean, Democratic Republic of Congo is now in huge problem.
Yeah, look what happened.
Fighting because of bauxite and for other things that are going on there. It's horrible. So, I mean, it's got to stop. I am from the developed world. I'm from Australia. But how can the world develop on the back of others, at the expense of others, which is just unbelievable? We are still in the colonial era where people can come and they can exploit to the expense of others. They can. We here get energy from you guys. So we need to work together. We need to support each other. I need to keep passing information to you. And in the end, we have to be strong enough and believing enough to come through this terrible time. It would be shocking if the people of Afar, 2.2 million people, were simply exterminated by conflict, by exploitation, by famine, by hunger. That's a terrible history. That is a shocking history. It's been done before in the world, but we should not agree for it to be done again. We need to work side by side with the Afar. The Afar need to work themselves. They need to be in control of their situation. And our organization is trying their best to put the community first and to work deliberately with the community, yeah? So I will give you any information I have. I'm not a young woman now. I'm quite old. I'm a grandmother. And I will probably die here. So until I die, let me work. Let me run and let me keep contact with you good people. Let us hold hands together, I say. Yeah.
That's a wonderful message, Valerie. Thank you so much for it. I mean, it sounds to me as though the people of Afar are extremely resilient and ingenious, that they are surviving in a situation where they've got drought and they've got war and famine and all these other terrible things.
Well, they are. Their resilience comes from the fact that they live as a community. Exactly. They live as one people. And to me, after all these years of living here, the mistake of the West is to go down the road, the track of individualism. If you do that, then you are literally killing your neighbor. That's not a good way to be. If you are together, as they say, two hands clap, one hand doesn't clap. We can do things together. But Afar have got the amazing experience of being together, of being resilient, as you say, together. And they're very, very highly reconciling people. They don't want fighting. They don't want destruction. And they're desperate to know how Ethiopia can stay one nation. And we pray to God it will. We do, because we don't want Ethiopia to split. That would be terrible. But at the moment, if TPLF gets its way, Tigray People's Liberation Front gets its way, Ethiopia will split. She'll split.
Yeah, that's a terrible prospect, isn't it?
It's a shocking prospect. Very shocking.
Is there anything else that you can think of that we can do besides show solidarity with you, get out this message?
If you can be supportive, we've got our website, we've got our contribution account. If you can be materially supportive, then you're very welcome. And we will give you recognition for that, and we'll do what we can. We need help to buy more food. We need help to continue our medical work. We need all sorts of assistance. People need under conflict to be studying, to be in education under a tree, because if they live every day with the bad knowledge of conflict, then they are becoming injured in their thinking. So children, youth need emergency education. We need to do all this work for the people, and our organization, Afar Pastoralist Development Association, is prepared to do that. Yeah, we will try our hardest.
Can you give us your email or some way of contacting you? You said it was the Afar Pastoralist Development Association.
Yes, Afar Pastoralist Development Association. The website is APDA, the abbreviation of the organization, hyphen Ethiopia.org. And that's what the website comes up as. We have a Facebook. I shall start fairly soon, I think, a Twitter account.
Yes, it's just that you are simply not on the map here in Canada, let me tell you. And it's not just Afar, it's all the other provinces, regions as well. Well, do you have any final words to add?
Well, only to have this link, to talk with people, is such a pleasure. Because if you can't express yourself, if you can't communicate, and you're alone with your problems, of course you're burdened, you're in worse trouble. So if we can have friends in Vancouver, in Canada, then we love them. We want to be with them. And really, we should be together. There are Afar in Canada. There are organizations like Ethiopia Aid Canada. They're very good at supporting us in relief work. CanGo Afar is a Canadian Afar organization in Canada. Islamic Relief works from Canada to help the Afar. I know they do. We should share across the world.
You masters of war, you that build all the guns, you that build the death planes, you that build the big bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks, I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand, you hide from my eyes. Then you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten their triggers for others to fire, and you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can never be hurled, the fear to bring children into the world, or threaten my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned. There's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennargi O'Sullivan of the Tlalitsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Window, exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Our next speaker here is Viola Thomas. She is also a residential school survivor.
Part of our obligation where I work with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada is to inform Canadians on the truth. But I believe that as more Canadian people understand that this was Canadian law and Canadian policy, and that Canadians need to take responsibility for the shared history, I also believe that Canadians have a responsibility to resonate reconciliation with the First Peoples of this country. And what did we learn when we went to the school? We learned how to be bullies, how to be mean to each other, how not to love, how not to feel a great sense of pride of who you are and where you come from. I learned about racism, and I didn't know what that was. I really didn't know what racism was. I learned about sexism, and as a young girl, I didn't know about sexism. There are many forms of abuse, not just the physical, but the intellectual abuse. To always be reminded that you're stupid and that you're nobody. To be told by your teachers and by the folks from the church that you're a savage, you're a squaw. And I just want to close with one of my heroes, a woman by the name of Winona LaDuke. And I offer this to all of our brothers and sisters who were abducted to residential schools. And I offer this with a good heart to non-Indigenous people so that they will pick up the torch. And this is what she says. There is no social change fairy. There is only change made by the hands of individuals.
You have just heard At Window, exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
Welcome to Amandla, your 1 hour African Current Affairs show here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, CKUT.ca around the world. I am sitting here remotely with Doug Miller, and we have a really nice show lined up for you, Doug.
Oh, it's amazing, and I'm so proud to have been part of this book launch. The International Brigade Against Apartheid, Secrets of the People's War that Liberated South Africa, published here in Canada by Derage Press, edited by Ronnie Casserles, a famous old militant ANC and MK leader, along with Muff Anderson.